You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
Hey, I don't know. If you know me, you probably know something about me, which is that I'm a passionate person. I'm very passionate about what I am passionate about. And so if you get me on a tangent about something, or if you ask me about something that I really love or really enjoy, you'll probably have a 30-minute conversation with me. And you're going to go, I did not know he knew so many things about that random thing, right? I've always been like this. Like, even growing up, my first love, if you know me, I love basketball, but I really loved a player named Derrick Rose. If you know him, you don't, because you're too young, which just breaks my heart. But man, I would talk to anybody about him. I actually dressed like him for Halloween one time, and somebody asked me about him, and I kept them from trick-or-treating for about 15 minutes. It was a bad day for them, but a great day for me. And then it really just went on to basketball in general. Man, I could tell you anything about the NBA, stats, games, whatever, seeding, championships, all this stuff. Then it moved on to Christian rap. I really got into Christian rap. Lecrae was my boy. And I remember my first time carrying home one of his CDs. I got it at like a yard sale. It was called After the Music Stops. Dude, I would bump that 24/7. And this was in the age of music where you had to buy it. It didn't just come. Like, you had to buy songs and buy albums. Now you have like, what, Apple Music and Spotify, and everything's on there. And so, man, Christian rap was my next thing. Then I got really into movies, still really into movies. Man, I could tell you the whole MCU timeline. Love me some Marvel movies. And I don't know if y'all like Marvel, but man, if you do, yes, it's so good. Yeah. It's bad now, but you know, the OG was good. The OG was good. So me and my wife and my child just went and watched the new Captain America movie. Don't have to, you don't, it wasn't good. So, moving on. And now another love of mine, LeBron James. The glorious, no, not my glorious king. No, he is. And truly, it's this weird atmosphere where, man, if you just mention something about it, like still today, I'll call my dad and me and him, we will talk for about an hour and a half. And I guarantee you the 45 minutes, that hour and a half, is about the Los Angeles Lakers and their trades and what they're doing and how LeBron's doing, how this is his glorious years. It's awesome. So, but yeah, if you get me going on something I'm passionate about, man, I will talk to you for hours and hours and hours. And the truth is, that's probably many of you for what you care about, right? Like, there are things in your life that you care about that you go, Nate, if you just asked me this question and you listened, I could have you all afternoon, you know? I don't know. What are some of those things in the room? Raise your hand. What are some of those things you're like, man, I could talk to you about this forever. Paige? Pride and Prejudice? Isn't that a movie? Oh, it's a book too. I'm so sorry. It's a book too. My bad. My bad. In the back? Harry Potter? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, middle? Yes. Shorts? Sharks? Oh, I was about to say shorts. Like, what are you talking? Like, look at this material. This sharks. Okay. So I'm assuming that don't talk to you on Shark Week because you're probably fully invested in that. Cool, cool. Lydia, book talk. What do you mean book talk? Book talk? Like talking about books? What? Am I saying it wrong? Book talk? What is book talk? Huh? The book side of TikTok? Oh, all right. In the back, last one. Hamilton, come on. Come on, Hamilton. Man, don't even, yeah. Man, so what you realize is, even if you didn't raise your hand, you probably, something came to your mind, or maybe two or three things came to your mind where you're like, man, I could go on and on about that. And what we see with that is this, that we talk about or we advocate for the things that we enjoy or find important. That's kind of what we're going to spend our time with, whether it's doing it or even just talking about it. I'll always remember, as we kind of jump back to some of the things I was passionate about, I had a person in my life, an older adult, who kind of just looked at me and he asked me two questions. He said, Nate, I want you to answer these two questions. The first one is, he said, do you find Jesus important? he looked at me and said, Nate, do you find Jesus important? And at the time I looked at him and obviously my answer was, yes, yes, I find Jesus important. And then he goes, okay, if that's true, how often do you talk about him? Ooh, that one was like a punch to the gut. Because as I thought about it, I was like, well, I didn't talk about him today. I mean, if I think about it, I didn't talk about him this week. And then you get into like, well, did I talk about him this month? Did I talk about him with somebody this semester? Did I talk about him this year? Have I talked about him in my time in high school or my time in middle school? And so we see this idea of, man, we talk about what's important to us. We share and we can spend hours and hours, and I could spend hours and hours talking to you about these things that in the grand scheme of it all are meaningless, but I won't talk about Jesus, who I say is important. And so we're jumping back into Ephesians. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up into Ephesians. And then as you're flipping there, we're going to be in Ephesians 3. If you would like a notebook to take notes tonight, just raise up your hand and we have a leader that will bring you on with a pen. While you're doing that, I'll also mention that we do have this, have a question, text it to 386-734-1991. That'll be on the screen all night. What, man, if there is ever a time during our time together that you have a question, man, please ask it. I want you to know the church should be the most safe and open space for you to ask spiritual questions. And so, man, we want you to have the ability to do that. And I will answer some of them at the end if we have some and we have time for it. Okay. So if you have a question at all tonight, text it to our number and we will get to you at the end of it, all right? Hey, we're going to be picking up in verse 1. We're going to read it, explain it, read it some more, okay? It says this, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ on behalf of you, Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insights into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." One of my favorite things that Paul says in here is he says briefly, because he has never said anything briefly in his life. So I think that's really funny. But in this moment, he's looking at the Gentiles, the people he's writing to, and he is saying this, there's a mystery and I'm going to tell it to you because it was shared with me. I'm going to share it with you because it was shared with me. And he brings up this idea. And if you know Paul, Paul had a miraculous transformation where Jesus Christ literally came to him and chose him and said, stop persecuting me and my church, but be a follower and be a leader for it. And so he's saying that happened to me. And because of it, I get to share this mystery with you. And it is this, that the gospel and its prize is for you too. Before this moment, Paul, and we've talked about this before, but Paul is looking at him saying the prize that we had, the eternal life that was given to us, was actually only for Israel. But now, because of Jesus and what he has done, it is for everybody. And so he's saying this mystery has been opened up to you, and I get to share it because it was opened up to me as well. Jump back in verse 7. "Of this gospel, the one of Jesus Christ, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of the Spirit. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." Take a breath, right? That's a lot. I mean, he's like jumping in and he's saying so much. Let me tell you, what he's looking at us is he is saying, the mystery that I'm giving you is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are welcomed in because of him. And then he says one of the most just crazy things to me when I think of Paul saying it. He looks at him and he says, I'm the least of the people that should be able to share this. I think that's crazy because we look at Paul as this almost super Christian, right? Like he's above us, like we could never do what Paul did. And here Paul is saying, honestly, I don't feel equipped to do what I'm doing right now. I don't feel like I'm the right person to be sharing this with you. Actually, out of everybody, I think I'm the least ready. as we kind of take a step out of this, I think that's a lot of us, right? I don't know about you, but I've felt that, of this idea of like, man, am I really the one to be able to share in this goodness? Am I the one that Jesus saved and is now saying, go share it? Man, am I ready for that? Am I equipped to do that? I'm very much like Paul, and I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I would say that there's probably some in this room that feel the same way. That maybe that's for somebody else, but certainly not me. I think about this story of a pastor, and he kind of came in. He said he went up on Sunday morning, and man, he didn't prepare as well as he wanted to, and he kind of just phoned in the message. He said he was stumbling a lot. He kind of forgot his points. Maybe the slides were not happening like they should. He misspelled something. He's stuttering. And he kind of walks off and he goes, man, that was rough. I did not do a good job. What? You know what? I just got to kind of throw that one away and get ready for next Sunday. What he didn't know, and what he would learn later that week as a member or just somebody who was in the crowd would call him and say, that's the message I needed. And because of that, and I really want to talk to you about what it looks like to be saved. What we see there is what was true for him and what is true for Paul and what is true for us is that we are simply messengers of a greater purpose that is not about us, but about the Holy Spirit's work through us. Man, we could stumble through all this stuff as Paul is saying, man, I don't feel equipped to do this. But the truth is, sometimes our stumbling is exactly what somebody else needs because the Holy Spirit is working in a way that we cannot comprehend and we will never be able to understand. Let's finish this section, picking up in verse 11. It says this, "This was according to the eternal promise or purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." So he finishes. He says this mystery again, I want to remind you, it has come through Jesus. That is the only way, the mystery again being that we are let into, that we are able to be saved by Jesus. It is not just for Israel anymore, but it's for all of us. And he's saying this mystery comes through Jesus. And because it comes through Jesus, he is where we are able to receive our ability and our boldness. We are able to be bold and confident in the message of Christ because of Jesus. We are able to go out and share about Jesus because of Jesus. It comes for him, it comes through him, and he uses us as his messengers. And then he finishes by saying this, which I really think is cool, by saying, "I do not lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." He's looking at these people and he's saying, hey, don't worry about me. We don't know what Paul was going through in this moment, most likely imprisonment, some type of persecution or suffering. And he's looking at the people that he has reached. And at some point, they might feel that they're responsible for whatever imprisonment he is facing or ever persecution. And he is saying, don't worry about it. I did my job. I did what I was called to do, and I'm glad for it. No matter what persecution comes my way, I'm not worried about it, and you shouldn't worry about it either, because to your glory, you heard Jesus. Focus on that. Focus on the fact that you are now let into the world of Jesus. You are let into the idea of being saved through him because of me. Don't worry about my suffering, because I'm not either. And I really do think what Paul is saying here is, don't worry about it, because this might happen to you because you are now called to be messengers of Jesus. Paul is telling these people not so that they can just know that, hey, I got to be saved, but he is looking at them saying, I shared Jesus with you, now you go and do it to others. What I've done for you, you go and do for others. But what's cool is it's written for us. Because Paul would not, what he would say to the Ephesians, he would also say to us. He would look at us in this room and he'd say, what I have done for you, go and do for others. Hey, if you're new here, we always do this one thing where the point for the day is what I want you to be able to get in your car with whoever's taking you home or whoever asks you the question of what did you learn at church tonight? And let me tell you, it is this. I want you to know this when you walk out of the room. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to share the gospel. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to share the gospel. Notice that the word called is underlined because called is not a word of recommendation. Called is not a word of, hey, you can do this if you want. Called is a word of, this is a part of the life of being a Christian. You are called. You are told to do this. If you look in this room and say, man, I am following Jesus, then you are called and you will share the gospel. There's a great pastor and leader by the name of Charles Spurgeon. And he wrote this one time. He said, every Christian here is either a missionary or an imposter. You either try to spread abroad the kingdom of Christ or else you do not love him at all. Yikes. That's heavy. You are either an imposter or a missionary. That's pretty wild. But in a way, he's telling the truth. Man, if we say that we love Jesus, if we say that Jesus is who we are called to serve and we want to follow him, then the answer is, then we're going to share him too. We're going to tell everybody we know about him. Because if we believe that what he has done is true, that there is eternal damnation away from him, eternity without him, and the only answer is to believe in him and follow him, that's serious stuff. And if we believe that to be true, then the first thing we should be doing is telling everybody we know about this, about how important it is for them. So what does this look like? I got three quick application points of what this looks like for you. How can you share the gospel, if you will? The first thing is this, know what you believe. We talked about this last week a little bit, and probably heard me say this before, but we cannot share what we don't know. How can you share Jesus if you do not know Jesus? How can you share Jesus if you don't know about him? Man, we need to be sharing Jesus, but in order to do that, we must know Jesus. How do we know Jesus? Through his word. He has told us everything that we need to know about him through his word. Here's a real easy application for you tonight. This might be what you need. Get a Bible reading plan. Get a Bible reading plan, a plan that walks you through scripture day by day. Hear me say this. If you are hearing that and going, Nate, I want that, but I don't know how to find that. Come find me and I'll help you out. I promise. There are so many out there and I will help you find one. Get a Bible reading plan. 2 Timothy says this about the scripture. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. What you're hearing this is this. You cannot follow Jesus if you are not reading the Bible. It is an impossibility because it is how we know Jesus. And if we're going to follow him, that means doing life how he did life. How do we do that? By knowing how he did life, by knowing how he loved people, by knowing how he responded to people. That is in the Bible and we need to know the Bible, all right? So in order to share it, you need to know it. Second, very practical. Man, if you're worried, use gospel tools. There are really cool tools out there that help you share the gospel. They're very practical. They're very easy to use. My three favorites are this. The three circles. If you look up three circles on your phone, it'll pop up. I don't have a picture of it, but three circles. It is literally three circles that walks you through the gospel. There is even an app called Three Circles that you can literally pull up and show to somebody and it walks them through the gospel. Three circles. The next one is, I love this. It's a 1 to 10 question and a question of why. The 1 to 10 question is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how certain of you, if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? Scale of 1 to 10. The question after that is why? Because if the answer other than 10, if the answer is anything other than 10, then there's a gospel opportunity for you. And if the answer to why is anything other than because Jesus died for my sins, there's a gospel opportunity for you because we cannot earn our way to heaven. And lastly, my favorite is simply start a question with somebody by saying, hey, do you have a faith? Do you have a faith? Man, that can go in so many directions. If it's yes, it's, man, what does your faith look like? If it's no, it's, man, can I share with you about mine? Do you have a faith? It's very open. It's very broad because faith looks very different in a lot of people. And it's a very easy starter. But let me tell you, those are my three favorite. There are so many gospel tools. If you just looked up how to share the gospel or tools to help me share the gospel, I promise you will find so many. So use them. If you're worried about sharing the gospel or about using the wrong words or saying the wrong thing, use a gospel tool and then make it your own. Make it your own. Make it very personal. And then this, lastly, and honestly, probably the most important, trust God with the results. Trust God with the results. Listen, be encouraged by this. You can't save somebody. And it's not up to you for somebody to be saved. It is only by the work of the Holy Spirit in their life that they can be saved. The cool thing is, we get to be a part of that journey. We get to help somebody along the journey. Whether it is by our conversation that they come to realize that they need to have faith in Jesus, or maybe we are just one conversation of many that are coming their way. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians, and I love it. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who planted nor he who watered is anything, but only God who gives the growth. What a beautiful picture. I'm saying, man, I can do what I can, and you can do what you can, but at the end of the day, it's up to God. Be encouraged with that. Be reminded that, man, it is not up to us, but it is up to Jesus to work in them. But we get to be a part of the journey by giving it to them, by showing them, by telling them about it. Because if we don't tell them, who's going to? Listen to me. The world needs the gospel. The world needs the gospel. Locally, we need the gospel. Listen, your home might need the gospel. Your neighborhood definitely needs the gospel. Let me tell you this. Your schools need the gospel. But also, not just locally, but globally. The world needs the gospel. And there's a beautiful thing called missions work, which is this idea of literally giving your life up to go and tell the world about Jesus who doesn't know it. And what's really cool is we actually have the opportunity that we were able to send two people from this very church to go do that in Thailand. Some of you may know them. It's Brad and Jess Connolly, and they're on mission right now in Thailand. And I actually asked them this morning if they would send a video just to kind of talk about what they're doing in Thailand. So let's watch that real quick to support them and what they're doing.
Hey, Stetson. We're Brad and Jess. We are your missionaries. I miss you guys a bunch. And we are serving in Thailand. Nate got a hold of me and he asked if I could just talk a little bit about what it means to be a missionary. He said, y'all are talking about sharing the gospel and we want to talk a little bit about what it looks like here overseas. I guess the big thing to talk about is language. We are full-time language students and that really fries our brains a lot. We try to talk to three-year-olds and three-year-olds can hold a better conversation than we can, but it's part of the process. And I think it's really important to bring up in terms of like what it means to live out the gospel, because our language learning really shows that we're trying to meet people where we're at. We're trying to make a bridge. We're trying to connect with local Thai people. Most of them don't know English, so how in the world are we going to share with them the love of Jesus? And so I would say it's a big thing about sharing the gospel is showing someone, it's much more the words, with your actions, that you genuinely love them because Jesus loves them. I'd say a big encouragement, while we've been here, is the opportunities God has placed us. with. We're not going out on street corners and screaming the gospel and Bible at people. What we're doing is we're going to Home Depot to buy furniture, and we come across a Thai who can talk English, and we get to share the gospel with her that night. Or we're just walking around the neighborhood ordering from a local cafe, and there's a neighbor walking her dog, and so we just strike up a conversation and we share the gospel that way. Just a big encouragement, man. Being a missionary, we're doing what Christians should be doing in the U.S., but we're just doing it over here. So I hope that's encouraging. Y'all could be gospel-minded. Y'all could be missionaries in your area. See you around, guys.
And what we see from Brad and Jess there is two things. Sharing the gospel can be an ordinary thing. It can be something that you do right now. And sharing the gospel changes lives. Sharing the gospel literally brings somebody from eternal death to eternal life. I want to end by this. Let me ask you a question. I want you to dream with me real quick. I want you to dream with me. What if everybody in this room, the 60 to 70 people that are in this room right now, shared the gospel with one person this week? And say this. Say half of the people that we shared the gospel with this week got saved and came to church. We would jump to what, 110, 115? And then, what about this? What if they then went and shared the gospel? And even just half of them got saved and said yes to Jesus. Listen, the gospel starts with us. It is a calling that if you are a follower of Jesus, and we are to go and share that with somebody else.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.